the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
our Father,
our Father in heaven,
your name be honored as holy.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts.
As we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us
from the evil one.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen.
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 I think Jesus links our forgiveness of others with God's forgiveness of us. Because that's exactly what he wants us to do. He always wants us to forgive. Why? Because we have been forgiven through Jesus Christ.
I think he wanted us to find common ground. We all have or will have to face situations where we have to forgive somebody.
Again, as an example of God forgiving us for our sins, as we should forgive others for their sins as well.
Jesus linked our forgiveness of others with God's forgiveness of us as an example for us to forgive.
Because we should love, forgive, and accept one another as he has us.
Even as humans and as sinners, we should be able to, or try to emulate this and forgive those who have hurt us.
I think that Jesus linked our forgiveness of others to his forgiveness of us. Because we were forgiven so much, we have a responsibility then to forgive others much and show Jesus' love.
Because we should forgive, because we have also been forgiven.
Our own forgiveness to forgiveness of others, to me, is kind of the ultimate challenge of setting yourself aside and picking up your cross and living for God.
He has already forgiven our sins, and that we should be doing the same as Christians.
When we don't forgive other people, we're not fully grasping the forgiveness that God has given to us.
Jesus linked our forgiveness with God and the forgiveness of others to remind us that God forgave us, gave his only son of our sins to forgive us, so we should be able to forgive others for the way they've harmed us.
So many of God's teachings or ideas and lessons are agreeable to my conscience, but when it comes to actually forgiving those who hurt me the way God has forgiven us, it's the ultimate challenge to push yourself to fully commit to living for the kingdom.
And it is a challenge. Good morning to everyone. It is so good to see everyone here this morning. I cannot tell you how happy I am to see the folks gathering with us, and I know we have folks gathering with us out on the parking lot and folks that are still gathering with us online at home and wherever and however you're able to socially distant gather with us. I want to be very thankful that you are here this morning. You don't know what it has been like to preach to an empty house over the last 8 or 9 weeks. I mean, it has been an experience. Usually, Blake or Jeff would set me up and get me and the camera going, and then they were out of here, and I was left in here all by myself. I mean, absolutely by myself, with me and the Holy Ghost, with only two in the house, and to see someone else here this morning, it's a real happy feeling to know I'm not alone in this moment. And to see you wearing something other than your pajamas, that's kind of nice too, because I heard how some of you have been watching the morning worship service at home with your feet all propped up on the couch and the coffee table and the easy chair at home. And I got to admit, I was one of them with you. I'm happy we all remembered how to put our shoes on this morning and how to brush our teeth and comb our hairs and get us down here this morning. Because that's what we're going to do a little bit this morning. We're going to remember. We're going to start out by remembering. Last week, we were reminded of something. If you were able to be with us online last week, we didn't have the radio broadcast going last week, but we have very thankfully had a nice online service. In fact, if you've appreciated the online service, would you thank Jeff and Blake for putting that on here this morning? It's just tremendous, tremendous service that they offered us through these 8 or 9 weeks, and all I did was preach. Well, I preach every Sunday anyhow, so really wasn't all that different for me, but for these guys now, they their work doubled up real quick. And Blake was the last one to leave the building late last night. He was the first one to be at the building early this morning. And I'm just very well pleased with what they're trying to do here for us even now. But we were reminded last week, if you can use your memories for a second, we were reminded something that we needed daily to pray for. Do you remember what that was? What was it in the Lord's Prayer last Lord's Day? We were reminded we needed to pray for daily. Give us this day our daily bread. We were reminded that we all need something brought in just to sustain our lives. And we need it brought in every day. We're praying that the Lord would give us something we don't have. He would bring into our lives something that we need. This morning, we're being reminded of something we need sent away. Last Sunday, we were reminded of something we need brought in. But this morning, we're being reminded of something that we need even more desperately sent away. What is it? Our sin. Amen? We desperately need our sins to be sent away, as desperately or more so than we need daily bread brought in. One of our life group teachers will remind us this week, it's not incidental nor accidental that Jesus ties our need for forgiveness with our need for bread. Isn't that curious? He put those right beside each other. We need bread brought in, but we just as badly need sin sent away. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The one we need brought in, the other we need sent away. That's what the Greek word for the word translated forgive means in the Lord's Prayer. Aphiemi. Aphiemi is a compound word. Apo means away, something away. And himi means to send. Forgive us our debts. Send our debts away is what the Lord's Prayer is to say. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. For which we can all say what? Amen. As far, where do I want my sins? As far away as they can possibly be sent. I don't want my sins just to be rolled back to some day in the future. I don't want my sins to be rolled back to July 15th, still waiting to be paid, just like my federal income tax. Okay, I don't want to think that my sins have been taken away and sent to a future day on God's calendar when my debts are going to be recalled and I'm going to be required to pay. No, I want my sins sent completely away. I want them taken away. We pray that God will have compassion on us and he'll tread our iniquities underneath his feet. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Like Micah 7:19 says. We sang that this morning. And then after our sins have been cast into the depths, we pray there's a no fishing sign posted to keep poachers away and keep meddlers away from sticking their nose in our business and dredging up our past indiscretions. No, away, away, we say. Away from me. And we pray our sins will never be seen again. And that's where our sins are taken, Jesus says. But listen to this. This is the lesson the Lord's Prayer teaches. Our sins will be taken as far away as we allow the sins of others to be taken away from us. Now that's something to think about. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, the way Jesus taught it to be prayed, we are praying that the Lord will forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And here we're talking about the sins of others. That's a much more comfortable subject to talk about, isn't it? To talk about the sins of others than to talk about a sin of ourselves. But you can't talk about the Lord's Prayer without talking about both. The Lord's Prayer talks about our sins, but it also talks about the sins of others, and especially when those sins of others are committed against us. And they have created a certain indebtedness to us, to the extent that an apology is due us. It is owed us. How quick are we to release a debt like that? And how far away are we allowed, do we allow that debt to be sent? Do we demand an apology to be made first? I'll forgive you as soon as he apologizes. Do you demand an admission of guilt? A certain amount of public groveling in the dirt? A little begging and pleading first? Is that as far as we're willing to go when it comes to the sins of others committed against us? And then how many times are we willing to forgive someone who goes through all those contortions in order for us to forgive them? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Is that your attitude? Then that's as far as the Lord's Prayer allows us to pray that our sins will be sent away. And that's nothing like the example that Jesus left us, is it? As Jesus hung dying on the cross with Roman soldiers and Jewish leaders and even passerbys and the thieves on either side, as they mocked him, what did Jesus pray? Father, afiemi. Father, forgive. Father, send their debt away. They do not know what they're doing. And he said that even as they were casting lots to divide up his garments. But where was their apology? Did Jesus wait for an apology? Where was the admission of guilt? Look what they were doing. Did they even admit what they were doing was wrong? Where was the groveling in the dirt? Where was the begging and pleading for God's forgiveness for what they were doing to the Son of God? There was none. There was only a prayer of forgiveness by Jesus for them that their debt would be sent away. Now, you and I are tempted to say, yeah, but that was Jesus. There's no human way possible that you or I are going to be able to pray prayers like that. And yet, Stephen did. The first Christian martyr recorded in the New Testament, as he was being stoned to death, what did he pray? The Bible says, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Last words he said. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There was no apology. No one admitted any guilt. There was no groveling in the dirt for those who were throwing stones. There's no begging or pleading for such an egregious act of injustice perpetrated against a perfectly innocent man. No. There was only a prayer of forgiveness for the sending away of debt, proving it can be humanly done. Now, it doesn't sound human to extend forgiveness to those who deserve none, but it can be done. As Someone on the video said, I was real interested. He said, you know, most of the commands of God, I agree with in my conscience. It's the right thing to do. But when it comes to this sending other people's indebtedness to me away for because of the sins they've committed against me this way, that man, that's a challenge. It is. It doesn't sound human to extend forgiveness to those who deserve none, but it can be done. Corrie Ten Boom managed it. Corrie survived some horrible things that should never happen to anyone, and she found it very hard to forgive some of those things that were done to her and to her family in the German Holocaust. Unspeakable things. Unable to sleep, she prayed that God would help her put such justifiable unforgiveness to rest, to let her rest, even though she was not able to forgive those that were indebted to her. She could not rest. She prayed for a rest because she wasn't getting any rest. And finally, she gave up and she confessed her inability to forgive what was done to her and her family to her preacher. And her preacher told her, this was such interesting when I read this, her preacher told her that high up in the church tower, there was a bell. And that bell was rung by pulling on a rope. Some of you can remember the old church bells that were rung that way. My little kids, when they were real little in Bellsville, Ohio, they used to like to pull the rope. I never saw Jenny do it, but Jay was strong enough. He could hold on to the rope, and if everybody else let go, it'd take him right up in the air. And the preacher referred Corrie to that old bell that was rung by pulling on a rope. But the preacher went further, and he said, after a person lets go of the rope, the bell keeps swinging for a while. It'll keep sounding. It'll get slower and slower, and the volume will get lower and lower. But if you keep your hands off the rope, it will finally what? Stop. And the preacher said, forgiveness is when we take our hands off the rope. Now, if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we shouldn't be surprised if those old angry thoughts keep coming and ringing in our ears. But they're just the ding-dongs of an old bell that's slowing down, and as long as we keep our hands off the rope, it'll eventually stop. And Corrie Ten Boom said that proved to be right. The day finally came when the anger was gone. The issue came up less and less often, and each time it came up, she would refuse to pull on the rope until it finally stopped. Now, I think that's what Clara Barton did as well. Clara Barton is a great American patriot. She was a Civil War field nurse and founder of our American Red Cross. And I think that's what she meant when she was reminded of a terrible deed that someone had done to her years before, and Miss Barton acted as if she never even heard of that incident. A terrible thing was done to her. I won't even go into it. But when it was brought up to her, she acted like she didn't even know what the person was talking about. And her friend said, "Don't you remember it?" And Clara said, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting it." Now, why would anyone do that? Why would anyone put forth such an effort to forgive? Because if they've ever stopped and listened to themselves praying the Lord's Prayer, then they know, as the sin of one goes, so goes the sin of the other. As the sin of others go, so goes the sin of my own. They are birds of a feather flocking together. They're like a shadow. Wherever one goes, the other follows. Forgiveness follows those who are willing to forgive. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus says, because they are the ones who shall receive what? Mercy. His brother James writes, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." No mercy for you, because you showed no mercy for them. And then James closes by saying, "Mercy triumphs over judgment." There are passages in the Bible that say we need to be kind to one another and tender-hearted and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Christ forgave you. The least you and I can do is to forgive others. But that's not what Jesus is teaching this morning. It's so easy to turn this teaching around and to say that's what it's saying. That's a true teaching. That's not what the Lord's Prayer is teaching at all. Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness. He's not teaching us to pray because we have been forgiven. He's teaching us to pray forgive us our debts. We're praying for something we don't have. We're praying that our sins will be, not yet, but will be, future, sent away as far away as we've been willing, past tense, to send away the sins of others, the sins against us. And Jesus assures us in his addendum to this prayer that that is precisely how we're going to be forgiven. Make no mistake. The very first verse after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also," future tense, "forgive you." But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will, future tense, your Father forgive your trespasses. God wouldn't do that, would he? Would God refuse to forgive based upon my refusal to forgive? That seems to be exactly what God is pictured as doing in Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18. I'd encourage you all to go home and read that on your own today. Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merciful king who mercifully forgives the debt of one of his servants who pleaded with the king over a debt he couldn't possibly ever repay. And the king forgives him. And what did that forgiven servant do? He went out and he found a fella who owed him a far lesser debt, and he seized him and he choked him and he demanded immediate payment in full. He put his fellow servant into debtor's prison until every penny was paid. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they reported to their master, the king, all that had happened. And the king summoned the unmerciful servant, and he said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave, I sent away. All the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. away. I thought the servant's debt had been forgiven. I thought his debt had been a fiamme. I thought his debt had been sent away. It had. But the king revoked his forgiveness. And he recalled the man's debt, and he required it to be paid in full, every penny, just like the unmerciful servant had done to his brother. But God wouldn't do that, would he? Jesus closes the parable by saying this, so also, everyone say so also. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And I don't know if your theology allows God to revoke his forgiveness or not, but Jesus' theology did. And that's why Jesus says in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. You're going to pray a prayer like this, you better forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that, everyone say so that. So that, you better do this, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Do this, if for no other reason, for your own sake, so that you can be forgiven. Now, this is why Frederick Buchner describes forgiveness as an act of radical self-interest. We usually think of forgiveness as an act of humility and mercy, that we're doing it for the other person, and it can be done. That'd be a more, even a greater Christian motive, to forgive for the other person's sake. But Frederick Buchner says, now you got to look at what Jesus teaches entirely on this, and forgiveness is also an act of radical self-interest. Forgiveness is for you, too, not just for the person who sinned against you. Forgiveness is for you so that your heavenly Father will forgive you. This is why John Iverson says, the man who refuses to forgive destroys the bridge over which he himself must cross. We all need forgiveness, amen? We all need it. And we're told we're not going to get it if we don't forgive others who sin against us. So Iverson says, you burn that bridge of forgiveness, you refuse to forgive, the day's going to come when you need to walk across that bridge and it ain't going to be there because you burn it down. This is why I believe Robert E. Lee responded to a Kentucky lady the way he did after the Civil War. The lady took the former Southern general out to the remains of a grand old tree in her front yard, a tree that had just been terribly and irrevocably scarred by the federal artillery of the war. And every day this lady would have to walk out of her house and see this visual reminder of what the Northern Army did to her southern country. And she looked to the former general for a word of consolation, condemning the North and sympathizing with her loss. And after a brief silence looking at the tree, Lee said, cut it down, my dear madam, and forget it. Let it go. Let it go. And I believe Lee did that not to scold the lady. I believe he did that because he saw what holding on to that resentment was doing to her. Every time we stumble across a seed of resentment. We have a choice. We can pick this seed up and plant it. Or we can throw it away. Now, if we throw it away, we can walk away virtually unscathed by what that seed may have grown up to be. We might even end up forgetting about the indiscretion altogether and never thinking about it again. But if we plant this seed and we water it and we till it and we fertilize it, it may grow into such a monstrosity that we have to look at it for the rest of our lives. And worse still, it may grow into such a monstrosity that God has to look at it every time we pray. And to think it all began with this one little seed. Let's pray. Lord God, help us make the decision today that we will do what Jesus taught us to do when he taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And help us throw whatever resentment we hold away. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.